Well, good morning to everyone. So glad we could all be here for class this morning and to worship. As we get started, I ask Bobby if he would please start us off with a prayer. So last week we started off our new class for the quarter, and I got some comments from some folks having scheduled this, wanting to know why there were two ladies' classes this quarter. There's an actual ladies' class, and there's a class studying ladies, and I think it's such an interesting opportunity to take this time in the auditorium to really study women in Scripture. You know, Ken talked about last week, he'd never been a part of a study like this, and I haven't either, which makes it even more interesting to try to lead a discussion like this for he and I. But Ken started this off last week. If you recall, we talked about that God created and that God values women, and the followers of God respect and treasure women. What does the world think about those statements? What does the world think about that? Does the world think that the church honors women? Does the world think the church respects women? No. Now, we certainly do have some bad actors amongst us, but when we're doing it right, when we're doing it right, followers of Jesus, women are safe, women are protected, women are valued. And this quarter, as we continue our study of characters of women in the Old Testament, women in the New Testament, that are in the Old Testament, New Testament narrative, it's important for us to keep coming back to that and remind ourselves that God created women and that God values women. And not to let the world try to steal that message or to corrupt that message like it has. So we're going to start this week with our first character, Eve. And it's appropriate, she's the first woman, the mother of all the living. So what are some facts we know about Eve? What are some facts we know? She was deceived. Okay? She was married to Adam. Who performed their wedding ceremony? Adam needed Eve. Man needed a woman. Ozzie. Formed from Adam's rib. What was Adam made out of? Dust. He made out of some dirt. Eve's a little bit more refined. What else? She should be Adam's helpmeet, her helper. She did have a great influence. And we'll see that this morning, a great influence which, if used inappropriately, can have some pretty disastrous effects here. What was her life like? What was Eve's life like? Wonderful? Maybe for a little while.
Had a big garden.
Maybe for a little while. The preachers always joke that they don't think it took till about noon the first day before they were over at the tree, seeing what was going on. We don't know. Maybe they were there for thousands of years. Maybe they were there for generations. We don't know that. But certainly for a certain time, she was in paradise. Absolutely. She was born into paradise. What else do we know about her life? They were, absolutely. And in a way that maybe no other man and woman have been since or can be since, because they were the only two people to talk to. She wanted to talk, she had to talk to him. He wanted to talk, he had to talk to her. There was no one else to run to No worrying about interfering in-laws at that point in that marriage relationship, I suppose, was there. So one thing, as I was studying for this lesson, I wondered, what do you think Eve looked like? A woman? Beautiful. I find it interesting, if you go type in Adam and Eve in a Google search, all the medieval and Renaissance painting, do you know what she always has? She always got long hair. She always has red hair, too. Always. Always has red hair. I find that so interesting. I tried to search someone on why that is, because if you'll ever notice, in the pictures of the apostles, John the apostle always has red hair as well. He always does. And supposedly that it comes back to John was that he was one of the sons of thunder. It's passion. It's that passionate, red-headed, stereotype. It goes back several hundred years, I suppose, right? But do you think she was snow white like she is in those pictures? You think she was dark? Had brown hair? Was she white? Was she black? Did she look Middle Eastern? I think it's important to step back, and as we picture the story, to kind of put some of those pictures that we've seen our whole lives, or the images that were painted over the several hundred years of the Renaissance that we've seen over and over again, to put those in perspective. Remember who she is. Absolutely. It is, and if we start assuming one thing, it can cause problems one way or another, so we need to be mindful that we do have that that tendency maybe to make her look like us, maybe make her look like what we expect. And maybe that's okay because then we can relate to her, but we don't need to take that too far. But for all of us, Eve has importance, right? Eve has importance because for all of us, we descend from her, every single one of us. No matter what our last name is, no matter what country our ancestors came from, we all descend from Eve. And her involvement in the fall of humanity, from innocence into sin, that affects all of us on a daily, probably an hourly basis. Yes, sir? Well, I don't think we've all sinned from Eve, but sin... Oh, if we descend from Eve. I don't know, that is a very interesting question, and I am certainly not prepared to talk about that this morning. So, but as important as Eve is to the overall narrative, she's only mentioned four times in Scripture by name. But her influence is felt by all of us every day. Yeah, Mike? Oh, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry. Maybe. Those are questions we get to ask when we get there, right? Like, why are there so many mosquitoes everywhere? Why couldn't he just find something else to put in the world? I don't know. But Eve's creation, let's talk about that. Let's read the story of Eve's creation. Ken, would you read these two passages for us? If you haven't already, turn over to Genesis. We're going to stay here for most of the morning. So Genesis chapter 1, and there's two creation accounts for Eve. There's one in chapter 1, but there's another creation account where there's a little more detail given in chapter 2. And so we want to read both of these to get a full understanding of the narrative here. So Ken, if you wouldn't mind. And then Genesis 2, verse 20 through 25. I believe that both men and women, and I believe the passage tells us this, were created in God's image. Now, if we read this straight through, it may not look like that to us in the English, but in the Hebrew, there's two different words in chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, and again in the passage in chapter 2 that are used and translated into the word man. Sometimes it's the word, and I wouldn't even begin to try to pronounce it in Hebrew, but it's essentially the word that comes from, or that Adam comes from. It's actually Adam is the way you would pronounce it. And that word is used to refer to Adam, and that word is used to refer to man in terms of mankind, humanity. And so we see that God has created man in his image, Adam in his own image, mankind in his own image. He's created them male and female. And I think that's important for us to understand. Because what is it about man that is in the image of God? A spirit. A spirit. What else? What else do we have that makes us in the image of God? We have a consciousness like no other animal. We have a consciousness like no other part of God's creation. And I think we have free will like God does. God has free will to do what he as he chooses. As do we. As do we. Does God have human anatomy? I don't think so. I don't think God has fingers, or God has hands, or God has feet in the same way that I have feet and I have hands and fingers. And so if we were to say God has created man in his image, apart from women, I think that would be something different than what the passage is trying to tell us here. But both men and women are created in the image of God, and I think it's vitally important for us to understand from the very beginning when we go back to what Ken talked about last week, is that women are valued. God didn't make men in the image of himself and then make women in the image of men. That's not the way it works. We're all created, male and female, in the image of God. So let me ask you this question too. When does God decide to make Eve? Okay. Paul, what were you going to say? He created Eve to be a helpmeet. I would tend to think, and I think as I was studying for this, this is kind of dawning on me maybe for the first time, that it was God's plan all along to make women, though. And I think that he parades the animals in front so that he can name them. I think God already knows there's not a good helper there. God knows that. Who doesn't know it yet? Adam doesn't know it. Adam's got to be, how many times as men or women do we have to be knocked on the side of the head before we understand the point? Someone who loves us, someone who's wiser than us, they tell us, hey, this is going to happen to you. You need to know this. Pay attention. We don't listen. We don't listen until it knocks us right in the side of the head. Yes, sir, Johnny. Yeah, so again, I think it's exactly right. There are parts, anatomically, there are parts of man that don't make sense without a woman. So I think God had that plan from the beginning. And again, it's not an afterthought. And that also tells me the only reason that Eve was made was because I needed Abby to help me. That's not it. It was God's plan. It was God's plan to create woman in the image of man. And so, yes, Eve is a helper, but she's also created in the image of God, by God, for a purpose. So, Eve was not an afterthought. Now, what is the first thing that we discuss here in the narrative as soon as Eve pops up? First thing in the narrative. Yes, ma'am. Eve does get all the blame. We're going to get there in just a minute, but absolutely, Eve does get all the blame, but whose responsibility was it to tell? Absolutely, the person who received the message. And that's incumbent upon us as well. But the very next thing we see in the narrative there in chapter 2, after Adam wakes up and says, hey, this looks pretty nice, right? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Let's talk about marriage. And that struck me as I was studying here is that as soon as men and women are both on the earth, we got to talk about the relationship that they're designed to have. That's so important. And I don't guess I'd ever thought about that, that it's so foundational to God's creation, that it's the very next thing he talks about. It's the very next thing there. So Eve's temptation and fall. Kurt, would you read this passage for us? Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. When were Adam and Eve's eyes open? After who ate the fruit? Specifically, after who ate the fruit, though? It's not after Eve. It's after Adam ate the fruit. As I was studying for this, I was struck by that why didn't Eve show up to Adam to offer this apple wearing fig leaves? Well, that you got me. Yep, see, I've been looking at too many of those pictures with that red-haired Eve holding that apple. Yeah, the fruit. Yeah, it's not an apple. We know that. We don't know what it was, but it's not an apple because it's not, whatever that fruit is, it's not here anymore. But I was struck by that the eyes of both aren't opened until the sin is complete with Adam. And I find that interesting based on what you said, that who was supposed to be the leader in that situation? Who had been given the command? Adam had been given the command. What is his failure here? He fails to lead his wife. He fails as a leader. Do you think the narrative turns out differently if Adam says, what have you done? Go throw that back over there. We can't do that. Let me tell you again. Does the narrative turn out differently? We'll never know. It's speculation. But we do see here that it's not until Adam eats. She was told. Yeah. Well, that's true. Yes. So, but maybe she wasn't told enough. Maybe she didn't believe Adam. Now, she just met him a few days ago, maybe, right? So, yes, sir. Oh, they do. We do. And Adam had the perfect example to be that leader you're talking about. And he blew it. Adam blew it. Yes, ma'am, Suzanne. Now, that's interesting. I guess positionally, I'd always pictured Eve kind of doing this off by herself. But is she off by herself? And if Adam's there, is he just kind of watching, saying, well, nothing happened to her. I guess I can take a bite now, too. Maybe he's using her as a guinea pig. It was peer pressure. We don't have that today, do we? Yeah, it's not a new problem for sure. Yes, ma'am. Can be. And if you didn't hear that, she said that we can be blinded by Satan's deceptive ways. We can be blinded by maybe our love for somebody else, or maybe our own desire. So we have to be mindful of that. Yes, sir, Anthony. I do. So if you couldn't hear Anthony, Anthony said that Adam didn't ask the right questions. He didn't ask any questions. And that's so important for us to understand and to communicate in that marriage relationship, absolutely. Yes, ma'am. They did. They make excuses. Boy, they sure tried those excuses, didn't they? They did. Oh, that's not a new thing, is it? You know, I'm gonna skip ahead one point. But the finger pointing amongst mankind starts with the first two sets of fingers. You know, a lot of times I hear people and say, kids these days, parents these days, no one wants to take responsibility. When I was a kid, when I grew up,
uh-uh.
This started on day one. Everybody said, it's not my fault, it's not my problem. This is a problem that's been going on forever. There's nothing new under the sun. That's what Solomon says. Now, does that mean because it's always been going on that it's okay, let's just forget about it? Absolutely not, because we see the consequences here of not taking responsibility. And also, it doesn't work, right? It doesn't work because God is not going to be mocked. God is not going to be fooled here. But we also see that Adam and Eve, they try to cover their disobedience. What do they try to cover it with? Fig leaves. Fig leaves aren't really that big, right? How do you think that went? Yes, ma'am. I think that's correct. I personally think God knew this was going to happen because from the beginning, what do we read in the New Testament? Who was planned? Jesus Christ was planned. Jesus Christ doesn't have to come to the world if sin isn't in the world. So I think that God knew this was going to happen all along, but I think it has to happen. In some ways, you know, God is a father. And as parents, those of us who have children, or grandparents, or aunts and uncles, or those of us who just interact with children, sometimes we have to sit back and we know what's going to happen, but we got to let it happen anyway, because they have to learn. And I think that's maybe part of it. Yes, I think so. But Adam and Eve are trying to cover their sin with fig leaves. And I can imagine trying to sew those fig leaves together and wrap them around and get some vines. And, you know, it just, I can't imagine it worked too well. And mankind's been trying to do this ever since, right? We've been trying through our own efforts to cover up our disobedience. And how well does it work for us today? It doesn't. One of the passages that stuck in my mind from the class on grace we did a few quarters ago was Isaiah 64:6. In Isaiah 64:6, the prophet writes, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." We need to learn that lesson from Adam and Eve, that once we've fallen, once we've sinned, we can't clean up the mess ourselves. We can try. We can do all the good stuff in the world we want, but it won't clean us again. It won't. Only the grace of God can clean us again. And that's what we have to fall on. And so we see here that Eve is going to receive punishment. Everyone actually gets punishment, but we're talking about Eve today, so we'll focus on her. Don, would you read chapter 3, verse 16 for us? So Adam's punishment, we didn't read that, but Adam's punishment is a lifetime of hard labor. Eve's punishment seems to be pain. Pain in childbirth, and it looks like, to me, pain in her relationship with her husband. Let's read, this is kind of a hard thing to understand. As I was preparing for this, I use an online Bible tool called Bible Gateway. And I'm looking at the ESV, and the ESV on the online tool was actually different than my hard copy. And it was that your desire should be contrary to your husband. And it's like, well, that's weird. So I went back and looked in the New King James, it's not translated that way. You look in the New American Standard, it's not translated that way. In the ESV in mine, there's actually a footnote in my hard copy. And that footnote, you know, kind of showed leaning towards that. And so I looked in a couple commentaries, and as it turns out, I've never noticed this before, maybe you have, but there's a very similarly worded passage, almost exactly the same wording, when God talks to Cain, that I think will help us understand exactly what it is this desire for her husband is going to be, and Adam ruling over her. So, Paul, would you read Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 through 7? Again, this is God talking to Cain here. So see, here we see we have sin that is trying to gain control. Its desire is for Cain. Sin wants to control Cain. Right? That's what that passage means. And so if we go back and we use that same understanding, it looks like Eve is being told, Eve, you're going to want to control Adam. But Adam's job is to be your leader. And Adam is going to lead you. Now, that is interesting. And in my study, if you heard Johnny, if you couldn't hear Johnny, Johnny said that until this time, the hierarchy, if you will, and the relationship between husband and wife, men and women, hasn't been formally established. Not that we read about. So that's very interesting. And is that part of Eve's punishment? Is that part of Eve's punishment that, okay, now there's a hierarchy, and your desire is going to be to control him, but he's not going to be controlled by you. That's not the way that things are going to work, even though you might want it that way. But before that time, maybe Adam was the perfect leader in innocence. Maybe Eve was the perfect wife in submission because things were perfect in the garden. Or maybe, like Johnny suggested, maybe there was none of that. Maybe they just coexisted as peers with no concerns and no conflict at all. There is no problem that they seem to have. They live in that paradise, right? What's a helpmeet? Well, that would be someone who is helping somebody. So can you have a peer that helps you? I think you could have someone who is, you know, on the same level as you to help. So I don't think that necessarily would go against what Johnny's saying. What's it? I think. Yes, I do think. I do think. And we're getting into some speculation here because we're going outside of what we can read book, chapter, verse in. And that's okay, but, we are in a little bit of speculation, absolutely. But what we definitely see in Ephesians chapter 5, and let's actually flip over there and read that. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verses 22 through 26. Because if Eve's desire is to control things, and she's been struggling with that, then that's the same struggle you would expect the first century Christians to have. And that's what we see Paul addressing here. So beginning in verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. You know, when wives try to dominate their husbands, that's not going to give the result they want, right? It's not going to. They're going to be disappointed with the results. But husbands have to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Now, Ozzie, you talked about this in the men's class, that if we expect, as men, our wives to submit to us, like God is telling Eve she is going to have to, what do we have to be, Ozzie? We have to love them. We have to be submissive to God so that we're worthy of being submitted to. For those of us who have daughters, when we see them It's kind of hard for me to think about it as I got a little 6-year-old at home, but if I think about her dating one day or her marrying one day, I want her to marry someone that's worth submitting to. And Adam has to be that. So Eve is given this curse, but Adam's given a responsibility. That happens very early on. So both Adam and Eve are going to be banished from the garden here. We have just a few more minutes. I think we'll finish. Let's read Genesis chapter 3, verses 20 through 24. And Bill has that for us here. Oh, go ahead, Leslie, before we read. You know, it's interesting you say that. I'm reminded of that class we taught about Christian leadership. We talked about responsibility and accountability. Responsibility can be delegated. Accountability cannot be delegated. The elders are accountable for what happens here. Husbands are accountable for what happens in their families. Responsibility can be delegated, but accountability cannot. Yes, Mike? Mm-hmm. We got into some interesting interpretation here, didn't we? That's great. This is great discussion. Let's finish with Eve banishment here. Mr. Pons, would you read that for us? Adam and Eve are both born into paradise, and they're kicked out now. They're kicked out of paradise, and they cannot return under pain of death. What do you think life was like for them after they left the garden? What's that, Steve? I think that may go back to it just being a mankind kind of thing, or it may go back to it being that, you know, Adam is the head there and he's the one that's responsible. Mm-hmm. But he did take it from Eve, though, didn't he? But certainly it wasn't, like you said there, it wasn't a good life. The life they're going to have is going to be very different. How much do they have to work for their food in the garden? None. They had to go pick it up. Pick it off the tree. And now they're going to have to, by the sweat of his toil, the sweat of his brow, by his back-breaking labor for the rest of his life, he'll feed himself and feed his family. Yes, sir, Emmett. I think it was hard. And I don't think God abandoned them either, right? Because we certainly see God still interacting with their family. And we see that with Cain and Abel, right? God hasn't abandoned their family. He's still with them. He's still interacting with them. But it's different. Yeah, did they know? Did they know to stay away from lions? Did they know not to eat that one thing because it's poisonous? Did they know? Did Adam even know how to get anything to grow? Ah, sin is still there, isn't it? Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. If you couldn't hear, she said they needed to learn to rely on God just like we do. Thank you, Ken. So just a couple more comments. I know Bill hasn't quite rung yet. I'll take advantage of that. Oh, there it went. Just one more thought about Eve as she goes through. It's easy to kind of get down on Eve and beat on her. But think about Eve's life after she leaves here. She's out. She has a hard life. But Eve is the wife, or excuse me, she's the mother of the first murderer. And she is the mother of the first murder victim. And she's also the mother-in-law of the first murderer, because we see that Cain has a wife. That woman had to come from somewhere. So thank you so much for the discussion. Hope we've thought about Eve in a way that's challenged us, and we've learned some things. Next week, we're going to pick up with Sarah, a faithful wife and mother, but a horrible boss. So we'll pick up with her next week.